Good morning. Buenos días. Bonjour. Buongiorno per la mattina. Guten Morgen, Herr Gobel. Good morning. This is a privilege for me to be here with you guys and preach the gospel in a day like this one. Today we celebrate Pentecost. You are not very excited about that. This is a Pentecostal church, and we celebrate Pentecost today. Yeah. You know, be exciting with this. Like, if you are new here, if you are here for the first time, you can notice I am not from Harrisonburg. I would love to be from Harrisonburg, but I'm no. Well, now I am, but the accent is a little weird, maybe, sometime. Sometimes my verbs are... I don't care about that. But I'm here this morning. And again, it's a privilege for me. Okay, Pentecost. Grandpa asked his grandson, what are you learning in the Sunday school today? What did you learn? And the kid says, well, the teacher tell us about Pentecost. Oh, Grandpa says, wow, that's good. What did you learn? The kid says, the teacher says something that this Christian guy that was gathered together in another place, but besides of this place, a neighbor was working in a huge fan. Grandpa says, what? Yeah, the teacher says the neighbor was working in a huge fan, and in a moment, he connected the fan, and something happened, and there was a noise like a boom. Grandpa was, what? What more the teacher says? Well, the teacher says that after this explosion, the fan started to work and flew over the place. And that was so strong that all the lamps in the place was gone. Se apagaron. Why would you say that? Turn off. All the lamps. Grandpa says, that the teacher says? Yeah. And she says too, that after that, someone asked, hey guys, someone have a lighter? And they turn all the lighter, and looks like there was fire over the head. What? And you know what? Another thing that she says. What more she says? She says that all this guy was learning with Rosetta Stone. And in a moment, all of them start to speak what they learning by Rosetta Stone. Grandpa looked at the kid and says, you are kidding me? And the grandson says, Grandpa, if I really tell you what happened that day, you are not going to believe me. That day was amazing. That day was unique. There was no other day in the history of the Christian church like that day. You know, that was incredible. one of the most incredible events of the mankind that happened that day. Let me share with you some of these acts. Pentecost. Pentecost means count 50. That is the name. That Pentecost is a Greek word and means count 50. Basically, this feast is 50 days after the Passover in Egypt, they celebrate Shavuot, this Jewish festivity. Okay? This was the day when the people of Israel received the Ten Commandments. For the Jewish, they have another name for this feast. They call this La Fiesta de la Cosecha, the Feast of the Harvest. And I have my own Rosetta Stone is here, okay? Just in case. The Feast of the Harvest. But they call to this feast the Feast of the First Fruits. You understand what I'm... People think there is too many coincidence in the Bible. No, there is no coincidence. This was the plan of God before the time to put together Pentecost exactly in this time. The first fruit. Look at what's happened with this group of people. The Feast of the Harvest. The fields are white. They are ready for us. Let's go outside. Let's go and preach the gospel. Ready. No coincidence at all. Another fact, another act. After they receive in the middle of the desert, 50 days after the people of Israel celebrate Shavuot, this festivity, 3,000 people who disobey God die in the middle of the desert. And in Pentecost, what happened? 3,000 people received the Lord. Is a coincidence? No, there is no coincidence. Everything is clear in the Bible. Everything is clear. We have all this testimony by Luke, who was a doctor. He wrote everything about what happened that day. Nothing like the story of the Sunday school of the little one, okay? Nothing like that. He take care about everything. Luke 1:1-2 says this. They used the eyewitness report circulating among us from the early disciples, having carefully investigated everything from the beginning. I also have decided to write a careful account for you, most honorable Theophilus, so you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. He received from this doctor. You know what? This is very interesting because doctor, how many doctors are here? One, two, three. Okay. Doctors are very, this word is difficult for me, meticuloso. meticulous. Oh, it's very simple, brother. The doctor are looking for all the detail. The doctor can obvious something. They need to care about everything. And Luke was this man. He take every single detail and put together in the book of Acts. There is too many people who think about the book of Acts. Maybe the name is not right. Maybe the name, the inappropriate name for the book of Acts could be the book, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because it's full of experience about the Holy Spirit. Every single detail, every single adventure, every single event was, you can see the Holy Spirit behind of these actors. Okay, let's go move ahead a little bit about this first Christian. They was together. One body. One body praying. There is some version who say this a little more clear about be together. They say unanimous. One body, one heart, one mind, one spirit, together. They obey to the Lord Jesus Christ. For 40 days after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, for 40 days Jesus was with them. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came. But they obey to Jesus Christ. Be together. Be together. I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you un consolador. Counselor. I'm going to send you. But you stay together. Stay together. When I read about this, call my attention a lot. Do you remember the two guys on road to Emmaus? This guy, they was part of the group of the disciples. You know, they was part of the group of the disciples. But they lived. They was very sad about what happened. They was very disappointed in some way. They was talking on the road about what happened with Jesus that day. And Jesus came and walked with them. And what called my attention is this, in this particular story, that they come back. Even when they walk all the miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, disappointed, sadness, no hope. We believe, one of these guys says, that we believe that he was the one who is going to. And when Jesus appeared, they feel in the heart. It's amazing. That was Jesus. Let's come back to Jerusalem. This guy, there was part two of receive the Holy Spirit. What means for me is this, that the Lord has so much interest that every single one of us, we receive and the Holy Spirit and don't lose the opportunity to receive what he has for all of us. They come back. They receive it. They receive the blessing, incredible blessing. They obey, everything was together, and the Holy Spirit came. But even when I was sharing the other day with Mike and Bert and Catherine about this, Even when these first disciples, especially the apostle, they receive all this pyrotechnic. Yeah? Poof, fireworks. Wind. Fires over their heads. Tongues. They don't stay. They don't keep in that way. They move ahead with the next. Okay? They, I don't know. You follow the idea? Sorry, sometimes my brain is, my hard drive is. Not only the wind, not only the flames spoken in a language. They went outside because all this pyrotechnic called their attention not only to those who were gathered together, but all this thing called the attention of the people outside. What's going on? What's happened there? Tell us, what's going on with you? What are you speaking in Spanglish? Thank you. They went outside, you know what? To preach the gospel. To bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this. For some Pentecostal and charismatic church, they love to be together and enjoy the Holy Spirit and nothing more. He didn't give us the Holy Spirit to just enjoy the Holy Spirit by yourself. That is a selfish spirit. We have the Holy Spirit to go outside and talk to the world about Him. We enjoy to speak in tongue. Yeah, it's good. Paul encouraged us, speak in tongue. I encourage you, speak in tongue, because I am the guy who more speaks in tongue than all of you guys. But for one reason, go outside and preach the gospel. Show to the people. There is no pyrotechnic outside, because the Holy Spirit now is inside of us. Okay? This is the beginning of the church. Some people have questions, some people have arguments, some people can say, no, I don't believe. But for me, I believe this was the time, the beginning of the church. And look at how it's the beginning of this church. The beginning of this church is a multicultural church. It's not only Jew. No, it's everybody. Everybody who was in Jerusalem that day for all the world, they was witness of the message. I love this. I love this because that means, again, God is telling from the beginning, the church is not only white, Republican, conservative. No, the church is for every single one, every single color, every single culture is welcome in the kingdom of God. One other thing that called my attention a lot during this particular event, the transformation of Peter. And not only Peter, basically Peter represent the whole group of apostles. In the group of the apostles, we have people like John and his brother, who was very selfish. The mother came one day to Jesus and said, "Jesus, in heaven, come be my son, sit on your right, and my other son, sit on your left. Please." There was another guy, very violent, like Peter. "If you have any problem, what's going on with you? Take the sword and back." But now, these guys are completely different. Completely different. There was an incredible transformation by the Holy Spirit. These guys are no longer the same guy that there was in the past. Transformation by the Holy Spirit. They went outside, and Peter preached an incredible message to them. One of the good things that I read about this, the first thing that he says to the people outside, God sent Jesus to mankind. People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorses Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. The first thing. Second, not only had God sent Jesus to them, but many in this crowd had Jesus put to death. Just imagine the picture, okay? Peter is in front of this crowded group, and he says, "Some of you kill him." Very direct. That is an example for us today. Brother, we are so polite in this country. So political correct. Oh, no, we can say something like that. Please, no. You are in trouble. You can offend. Please, the gospel. No, it's not possible to say something like that, because people can feel very offended. Peter walks to the front and says, "Some of you killed Jesus Christ." That was direct. I don't care what you think about me. I don't care what you are going to do with me. And later you can see what happened with them. Do you remember what happened when Peter and John was on road to pray to the temple? What happened? Yeah, they healed someone, and that was a big problem. A big problem. They was before the same group of leaders that 50 days before they killed Jesus. Exactly the same people. And now there was Peter and John in front of them. And they say, "With which authority are you doing this?" And they say, "In the name of Jesus, the Nazarene." "Don't do it. Stop to do this." And they say, "Sorry. We can stop to do this." You see the difference? Before, all these guys, the only guy who was there was John during the torment, the passion of the Lord. The only one who was close of Jesus Christ was John. All the other was hiding from the distance, looking. They don't want to be close. They don't want to be connected. Peter denied the Lord. But now, look at this. They are in front of all these leaders, the same leader that they have the authority, the power to put to them death. And they say, we are not going to stop. What an example for us. I think one of the motivation that I have in my heart for you, for us, for Grace Covenant Church, for Grace in Español, is to encourage you. The Holy Spirit is here with us, in us, for only one purpose: bring glory and honor to His name. Amen. He continued to say to the crowd, not only had Jesus been sent to them and they had crucified him, but he didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave. But God released him, verse 24, but God released him from the horrors of death and raising him back to life. For death could not keep him in its grip. 4. This is part of the message of Peter. Now Jesus is seated at the right hand of God to rule and reign. He put everything clear. He didn't hide nothing in his message. Verse 33. I'm talking about Acts chapter 2. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, and he had promises, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. Wow, what a message. What a radical message. What a powerful message. The message of the gospel have changed nothing. It's the same. And he says to them, you and I are sinners. We deserve to go to hell, but Jesus died in our place. He died because of our sins. Our sins put him in the cross, on the cross. How was the result of this message? 3,000 people came and say, Peter, what I need to do? What we need to do? They received the Lord. Now, we are here, 2015, Harrisonburg, Virginia, United States of America. Sometimes we have problems to share the gospel with people because we know what they are doing, but we don't have the authority to say, hey, brother, you know that is sin? You don't recognize that you are a sinner? We have problem with that. We prefer shout them out, don't say nothing. Doesn't happen during this time. What happened with the Holy Spirit? They were so powerful that the first example of someone who wants to take advantage of the Holy Spirit, we found this man in the book of Acts, chapter 8. Simon, the magician. He won the power. He saw all these miracles. He saw all these wonders. And because he was a magician, he wanted to have this. Can I pay for this? Can you give me this power to me? Because he was thinking to make business with this. This was the first example. And right now, let me tell you, we have a lot of Simons in denominations and churches using this for their own benefit. They try to manipulate the Holy Spirit. I have been in some churches when the preacher tried to, please, fail. People who prophesy and God is not there. And they say that God says to me, give me this word for you. And there was nothing. People who blasphemed the Holy Spirit. You know, I got a pastor called John MacArthur. You know this pastor? Yeah? Yeah. I agree with him in many things. I don't agree in other. His attack to the Pentecostal and charismatic church sometimes is very virulent. But in some way, he have a reason too. And we need to recognize this. He says, the Holy Spirit is the most forgotten. Many people don't use the Holy Spirit. I am a non-expert in the Holy Spirit, okay? I know the Holy Spirit just a little bit. I'm growing in know him. But I declare I am a non-expert. And my knowledge about the Holy Spirit is very limited. But I know that he lives in me. I know that I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. I have seen the Holy Spirit working in my life and through my life, okay? But for many people, the Holy Spirit is the most forgotten. It's the most represented. It's the most dishonored. The most grieved, the most abused, the most blasphemed member of the Trinity. When I heard this, and I agree with him, because we have too many churches doing very weird things in the name of the Holy Spirit. Healing that never was a healing. I have been seeing healing here, especially here, that nothing happened. But they declare it's healed. But I have been in Africa and Brazil many years, and I saw many people being healed like this. The power of the Lord, the Holy Spirit operating. I remember a guy in Equatorial Guinea. We lived with my wife for 3 years in Equatorial Guinea, a teeny country in Africa. And I remember this guy we visit some of the village, and this guy came to us with the eyes like a dark gray color, with an infection, terrible. And he says to us, can you pray for us? And we say, yes, let's pray for you. And we pray for him. And the next week when we come back, the eyes of this guy was clear like a baby. But there is some healings here that never was a healing. Was a performance, a show. The Holy Spirit is not a performer. The Holy Spirit is not for a show. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Okay? That was very interesting, searching for this message. I found the story of Frank Bartleman. You know this name? Frank Bartleman? No? Okay, let me give you an idea who is this guy. In 1906, in Azusa Street, California, there was an incredible revival. Incredible revival. The Holy Spirit came to this group of brothers, and that was like a fire. That fire was so powerful that 8,000 miles from California, 9,000 miles from California, my country, in Chile, south of the world, we receive the ripples of this revival. In the Methodist Church, they received the gospel. They received the Holy Spirit. Like this wind who came to the house and filled the house, the Holy Spirit came to the Methodist Church, and the Methodist Church changed forever in my country. The biggest denomination, Christian evangelical church in my country, is the Pentecostal Methodist Church. Until now, thousands, thousands and thousands of Christians are in this church. That happened 1906 in Azusa Street. There was a journalist, Frank Bartleman. He wrote everything with very detailed. He was the first-hand witness about the whole revival. But he have some warning too about this. 108 years ago, he was concerned about not the Holy Spirit, but something that could happen at the church. And he says this: we can't sustain a doctrine or just looking for experiences where Jesus Christ is not the center. You understand? The Holy Spirit, third member of the Trinity, is here to help us. But the center is always Jesus Christ. He helps us to bring honor to Him, nothing more. But there is too many churches, denominations, who are very concerned just about the Holy Spirit, just about the feelings and emotion. But if Jesus Christ is not the center, be careful. Be careful. Today is Pentecost. We celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's an incredible celebration. Amazed to me that in our country, Christian country, is known a holiday, Pentecost. You know what? There is too many countries in Europe where is holiday. The most secular society on the world is holiday. France, Norway, Germany, some part of Spain, Catalonia, Barcelona, and all this area. It's a holiday. We need to celebrate the Holy Spirit. And we need to say thank you, Lord, for sending us to us. You really are in us. I'm going to ask to the worship team to come. And I want to take a time and invite to you, if you need the Holy Spirit, or if you need more of the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you to come to the front. We want to pray for you. Okay? I need more of you, Lord. I want to see through your eyes. Maybe you have a friend, a co-worker, that you never talked to him or to her about the Lord. Take advantage. Don't be afraid. Peter, don't have any afraid to go to the front and say, you need him. I'm calling right now to the prayer team or the leaders. If you need pray, please come. For the rest of us, let's pray. Stand up, please. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the power and the authority that you gave us through him, Lord. Thank you for teaching to us, Lord. Thank you for encouraging us, Lord. Thank you for listening to us all the time when we seek your face, Lord. Thank you for responding to us. Thank you because through him we can be witnesses to others about you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come and fill this temple with your glory right now, Lord. Come, Lord, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, because all your promises, are with us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because we are not alone. You are with us. Always. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. Thank you, Lord.